Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last weekend, we began the famous parable section of St. Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 13. And we heard Jesus begin his parables with the story of the sower and the seed. That was fitting, because last week, here in Kennett Square, we saw a lot of things related to the seed. We saw the flower sprout, he bloomed, the corpse flower out at Longwood, drawing hundreds of people. We celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which means the Garden of God. And we celebrate the feast of that saint known as the Lily of the Mohawks, St. Kateri Tekakwitha. This week, as we come to Mass, those parables of Jesus continue. As we continue in Matthew 13, and we hear three more parables, the weeds and the wheat, the mustard seed, and the yeast. As he did last week, Jesus explains the first of those parables to his disciples. And that's the one that needs explanation, doesn't it? Even if we never saw a mustard seed, we understand that story. Even if we never baked a loaf of bread, we understand what yeast does. But it's this parable of the weeds and the wheat that proves more difficult. On the one hand, we're very familiar with it, and it resonates deeply within us. It's the story of the mixed bag of blessings and curses, of justice and injustice. It's the story of right and wrong living in the same time. And as familiar as we are with that, it remains a bit of a mystery. It remains a bit of a question mark. It touches on that most profound mystery, the mystery of evil. And Jesus knows that. Gratefully, he offers an explanation to the parable. He identifies the sower of the seed as being the Son of Man, the sower of the weeds being the devil. He identifies what the weeds and the wheat are, the wheat, the children of the kingdom, the weeds, the children of the evil one. He talks about the harvest and the harvesters at the end of time. And while he explains the what of the parable, identifying the different parts, he doesn't say much about the why or the what now. The very fact that Jesus is talking about this, the very fact that he offers a parable of these two things, is good news. Jesus our Lord is not blind to evil. He's not blind to the reality of right and wrong existing in the same time. And just knowing that he knows that can bring consolation. But there's something more that's needed. There's something more that Christ provides. The parable story ends with, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." That's us. And upon hearing, it might be good for us to ask, what do we hear? Upon hearing, what do we do? Most often, when we consider good and evil, when we consider the weeds and the wheat, we look out. We look out at how that's manifest in our world. And we can complain. We can moan and groan. We can compare. And oftentimes, we spend a lot of time doing that, trying to solve problems, trying to navigate the scene. And yet, as much as we may talk about that, as much as we may try to solve the problem, in the end, you and I have no control over the other person, over other circumstances, over many things. But what we do have control over What we can choose is our own heart. What we can choose to do is to look first within the field of our own heart. And rather than compare and complain or try to solve, to consider the field of our own life, the authority that we have, the freedom that is possible to us, and exercise a greater and a more mature stewardship over our lives, how we think, what we choose, what is going on. My friends, we have great authority in that realm. And the Lord invites us to it. In looking within, the Lord invites us to look with Him at our lives, to see with Him what's going on, what's present in our hearts, and to seek from Him wisdom, to share with Him what's going on in our lives, so as to receive from Him what He shares. And my friends, the Lord shares so much goodness. He wants to pour out so many graces upon us. And without ripping up weeds, He wants to bless. He wants to provide. He wants to love us. And to receive that love, to allow ourselves to be loved, is the call. As we look at the field of our own life, it's important for us to recognize all of the good and to give praise to God for the good, for all the wheat, for all the blessings, to not overlook any of that and to give God praise. For all of the weeds in our life, we need to look at that too, but to give God a call for mercy and how pleased God is to bestow mercy. How beautiful it is when the soul can present his or her sins to the Lord and hear from Him that prayer of mercy. How beautiful it is when we can give to God our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, and receive to Him, from Him, His light, His friendship, and His care. This, my friends, is the call. And it's only to the extent that we allow our Lord to accompany us in the field of our own life, in the field of our own minds, in the field of our own self, that we will come to know His peace. Peace is not found in finding it outside. We can work for peace, but it begins inside you and me. The Lord is calling us to a greater maturity in following Him, in being with Him, in allowing Him to have insight into the field of our lives. And this week, we can do that. I encourage you all to take a look at Matthew 13 and allow the God who created you to be with you in the field of your own life, and knowing His being with you, know a greater freedom, maturity, and peace. God be with you.